Okay, good morning to our studio audience today. We're on page Memhei. We're going on to the third shmuz, in different shmuz, and from Rav Shimshon Pinkus of blessed memory. The title of this shmuz is called Kimi Asher Yichubur El Kol Achaim, for who is the person who is connected to all of life. And the subtitle of the shir is Tisha B'Av is the day of remembrance, and that day we connect to the past glory of the Jewish people. Hamispar Eser B'chol HaTorah Kula Mayor Al Shleimus, the number 10 in the entire Torah, it teaches us and tells us about Shleimus, about perfection. For example, it says Basara Mamaros Nivra Olam, with 10 utterances the world was created. We also know about the Aseres Dibros, the 10 Dibros. We know about the 10 Sviros. 10's a big number. And it's a number of perfection. Hamispar Eser Mechuvan Keneget HaEser Sviros Shezel Yisod Shel Olam. The number 10 parallels the 10 Sviros that is the foundation of the world. V'tamid Hamispar Eser Mischalik L'Sholosh V'Sheva. And all the time, or at least most of the time, the number 10 is divided up into two halves, the number 3 and the number 7. Hashevahem, the 7 are Hagedula, Vagevura, Hatiferes, Vanetzach, Vahol, Kichol, Bashem, Avaretz. The 7 lower spheros in the levels of action, the word Gedula is a reference to Chesed, and then Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Vahod, and the last two words, Kichol, Bashem, Avaretz, is Yisod HaMalchus. And there's a little more. Okay, that's the 7 below. And Ashloshem, and the other 3, are the higher 3, Keser, Chachma, Ubina. Oh, Chachma, Bina, Vadas, but the different realms of intelligence and understanding. That's what's usually broken up. And that's why you have, by the Makos, in Parshas, Va'era, you have 7 Makos, followed in Bo, 3 Makos. It's the same thing. So now, David HaMelech mona rak sheva mitoch asara. David HaMelech only listed 7 out of the 10, because this pasuk, l'cha Hashem ha'gdul v'agvura, it's from King David's words. He only listed 7 of the 10. V'lo mona es ha-sholosh ha-nosari. He didn't mention the other 3. Ki ha-sholosh heim ha-shorosh l'sheva, because those 3 are the root for the 7. V'shorosh hu, and that root always, hu bebechinas, it's of the aspect of ha-nistaros l'Hashem alokeinu, and that which is hidden belongs to Hashem. Kloimer, meaning to say, any object can have expressions of kindness, gvura, tiferes. But how can you make it that way? It comes through the thoughts of wisdom, understanding, and intellect, etc., etc. We could skip the brackets. But the first 3 are kind of hidden. It's in the realm of thought. So that's hidden. You don't see anything. When you start moving into chesed, that's the action stage. So that's why the 3 are the root of the 7, and they're kind of hidden. And David HaMelech was only reflecting what you see. The rabbis designed that in this 10-week period, that the haftaras that we say during the 3 weeks and after the 3 weeks, to have shalosh de puranusa v'sheva de nechemta. There are 3 haftaras during the 3 weeks, and they are called the 3 haftaras of paranusa, of foreboding punishment, v'shevet inachemta, and 7 of comfort. Meaning to say, b'shloshes hashavush lifnei Tisha B'Av, in the 3 haftaras in the weeks before Tisha B'Av, maftiri minyone hachurban uparanus, the haftarah relates to topics dealing with the prophet's impending warning of the destruction and the punishments and calamities. In the 7 weeks after Tisha B'Av, Maftir and Vinyan and Nechama, the Haftarah are in areas of comfort. So again, 3 and 7. V'nei yesh kan chidush nifla. There's a wondrous chidush, an insight. Shreisach kol ha-kriya semeser. So it comes out all the readings are 10. And that takes you right up to Rosh Hashanah. It takes you right up to Rosh Hashanah. 7 weeks, move you right into Rosh Hashanah. Just about. And they're divided up into 3 into 7. Now, based on what we said, that the three is always the root for the seven. Hari Hasholosh HaPuranuta Heim HaShorosh HaSheven HaChemta. It comes out that the three of calamity are the root for the seven of comfort. Shekol HaShorosh V'Hamayin Shel Nechama. It comes out the root and the wellspring of comfort. Hakol Toli V'Yonek MaPuranios. It all depends and nurtures from the punishments, from the calamities. That's what it comes out. Three leads into seven. Seven is the goal. Three sets it up. Next page. Memvav. V'nekuda zuba lidei bitui ba'ofen nosaf. And this point comes to a point of expression, expresses itself in an additional way. Next subtopic. Rega ha'churban hu ha'pesach l'nechama. The moment of the destruction, that is the opening to the comfort. Ba'avelus shalikras ha'rega ha'neira shal shreifas beis elokeinu yeshnam shalavim. In the morning that happens, that approaches the moment, the awesome moment of the burning of our beis hamikdash, there are levels. Kechol shonu miskarvim la'os ha'shosh shal churban ha'bayis misatzemes ha'velus. As we get closer and closer to the moment that comes back in time to when the beis hamikdash was destroyed, the morning gets stronger. Okay, remember the top of the right hand side, the third line. B'yitzayim b'tamas maschilim b'isr nesuim v'tasforas. On the 17th of Tamas, we begin the prohibitions of not getting married, not taking haircuts. Mishenichnas av mematim b'simcha. When we come to the month of Av, we lessen our simcha. Ein ochlin basar. We don't eat any meat. Lo shosim yayin. We don't drink any wine. Lo mechabsin. We don't take bathing for pleasure. The next level, b'shavua shechol bo Tisha B'Av, on the week that Tisha B'Av comes out from that Matzi Shabbos on, dina avelos yosechem, the laws of avelos are stronger. Then we have erev Tisha B'Av, the day before Tisha B'Av, the suda mafsekes, that final meal before we start the fast. Harehi kamisha mesa mutal fun of it's like the dead person who's in front of you. That's how you're supposed to look at that way, as they're going to explain to us. If we're sitting on the floor, it's like mamish eating the meal when you come back from the funeral, right? B'tish B'av Atzma, B'tish B'av itself, Nogim B'chol Din Evos. We have all the laws of actual mourning of a Shiva. Chamisha Inim, the five hardships. Yoshin Al Aretz, we sit on the earth. Emin Ichatul, we don't put tefillin on. Hakol Likras HaRega HaNoirah, Shal Sreifas Beis Elokeinu. It all approaches that awesome moment of the burning of our holy temple. V'inei, Magia Osa Rega HaNoirah. We come to that moment. And when is that? At Chatzos Hayom Shel Tisha B'Av. When we come to Chatzos, 1:23 p.m. on Tuesday, what is that paralleling back in history? Osla Yizman HaSreifa. That was the moment the Beis HaMikdash was put on to fire. Oh! V'az Mishum Ma Nifkas HaVelos Milama. And then for some reason, the morning begins to lessen. At that point, Kamim Me'aretz. We get off of the ground. Misatfim betalos. We put on a talos. Menichens. We put on tefillin. Umachzirnas haparechus l'makayim. We put the parechus back in its spot. Hell, it's a wonder. V'lokol avelos oisul ikras harega neirazeh. All the morning was getting more intense till we get to this moment. Ukesharegazem again. When the moment comes, it should be even more mourning. Anumematim avelos. We begin to lessen the mourning. So how do we explain this? So a bear apashut b'zeh muva b'rishonim p'ya medrash. So the simple explanation, which is brought by the early rabbis, they quote the medrash in Eicha that says mipnei ah shavach gadosh baruch hu chamosa let's eat simvavodim velochilas chamosa bam yisrael, because at that moment Hashem poured forth His wrath on the trees and on the stones, the wood and on the stones, and He did not allow His anger to destroy the Jewish people. In other words, it's better He destroyed the wooden stones than the Jewish people totally. So that's one answer. Ach yesh na'od kabbalah shal kabbanim. We have another kabbalistic answer from the early rabbis. B'tam adover, the reason is, ki b'tisha b'av l'ach echad sayis ne'lir ha-mashiach. Because on Tisha B'av, at that moment, when the Beis HaMikdash was starting to burn, the Mashiach was born. V'gam zeh tover pel is also a wondrous answer. Is this the most auspicious time for the Mashiach to be born? El mul lahavos juxtaposed to the flames of the fire of the Beis HaMikdash, now it's the time for the Mashiach to be born? What do we see clearly from all this juxtaposition of events? The more that the mourning is intense, the point and the reason for the comfort becomes greater. Not that we get to Chag HaPesach, which we have on Chag HaPesach, with its awesome levels. The great time of receiving the Torah. There's no other auspicious moment. There are lots of great auspicious moments of the year, but none of them tell us that the Mashiach is going to be born then. Only the apex of the morning. At the moment of the great destruction. That is the opening for comfort. Havelus v'asiba v'pesach v'simcha l'nechama. The warning, the mourning is a reason and an opening for the joy and for the comfort. As a rabbi said in Gemara Tainus, kol nisabel Yerushalayim z'eichu v'rabbi simchas, anyone who mourns over Yerushalayim merits and sees its joy. Not will merit, but merits. Present tense. Okay. Amnam adavar tzarech bir, so now we've got to explain all this. Why and how does the Avelus bring into being the reason for the comfort? That is what we have to discuss now. It seems awfully unusual that at that most horrific moment is the moment when we're getting up from the bed, from the earth, and we're beginning to realize that the Mashiach is born. Now, of course, you've got to understand what that means, that the Mashiach is born. I mean, the Mashiach was born, so where's the Mashiach? So the answer is that the potential Mashiach was born, and the potential for bringing Mashiach is there, and then we have to activate it and do the things to make it happen, and unfortunately we don't. But be that as it may, it's an existential type of Mashiach. I mean, it's a real Mashiach. The real Mashiach will be born on Tisha B'av, there's no question about it. And in every generation, there's always a tzaddik who could be the Mashiach. Every generation has a human being walking on this planet who could be the Mashiach of this generation, would deserve it. The Mashiach is ready here and ready to go. But, you know, those are the hidden tzaddikim that we never find out about. But the truth is, as we will see in different shmuzim, you know, everyone can bring their own Mashiach into their life, even when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Because Mashiach represents the completion of everything that the Jewish people have been working for. Right? It represents this completion and wholeness. And we'll see what that really means, but that's what it says, you know, Roa Zolcha V'Roa V'Simchasa. You know, if you mourn for the temple, you will merit today. V'Roa, and you will see today its joy. And you can experience your own personal rebuilding of your own Beis HaMikdash. Got to remember that the Mishkan, that the human being, is a microcosm of the entire world. The Beis HaMikdash is a microcosm of the entire world and of a human being. And the Mefarshim go to great lengths to show how every part of the Beis HaMikdash parallels a part of the human body. And a human being, as it says, you know, the Pasuk says, and you will build for me a Mishkan, I will dwell in them. In the people, every human being is a Mishkan. Every human being is a Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is a place where heaven and earth merge together. So every human being has the potential of merging heaven and earth together within their lives. That's why when a tzaddik dies, you mourn for a tzaddik like you mourn for the destruction of the temple. So when a tzaddik dies, how about if a person becomes a tzaddik? When a person becomes a tzaddik, then you have the simcha of building a Beis HaMikdash. You know, all those different negative traits that we have, if we work on them and change them and use them for the good, we have all our traits running and functioning at full cylinder, and we're doing everything Hashem wants from us, then we have, in effect, in our own personal lives, we are living the life of Beis HaMikdash. Because what's Beis HaMikdash? Beis HaMikdash is realizing, as you know, that our whole reality is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we live that way every minute of the day, and we're not under no illusions of reality. Beis HaMikdash is a place where no illusions. You knew clearly there was Hashem in this world. You came there and you felt Hashem. So you could feel that yourself. So everyone can have their own personal rebuilding of their Beis HaMikdash at any time, at any place. And that's one concept. That means to say, really, you know, my Mashiach, I can have my personal Mashiach coming every Tisha B'Av. And I could work on this, and I can develop this. Okay, these more to be spoken about, and we've only begun the shmooze, but we'll see. Yeah, Sam, you've been very patient.
Yeah, just a technicality. How did you decide when exactly that the Mashiach would be born on this?
That's a Kabbalah. It's a Kabbalah we have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, he tells great tzaddikim, this is the Kabbalah. We don't ask how these things. This is the Kabbalah.
And if it's only symbolic, then when is it actually going to happen?
If that's up to us, isn't it?
Of course it is.
That's up to us. When we want it, it'll come. If you don't want it, it's not going to come. Hashem can only put the things into place, but we have to take the pieces and make it happen. So Hashem says,
some people have happened already, is that the idea?
There are certain people who experience their own Beis HaMikdash in their own lives. Yes.
Yes. So it's not a physical...
It's a physical... There's a structure, but the whole structure is only symbolic of what's supposed to be paralleling in every Jew.
Right.
When there was a physical Beis HaMikdash, there was millions of little Beis HaMikdashes walking around this world. That was the real goal. That was the real goal. Because every Jew lived like he was a Beis HaMikdash. And there was a time, a short time, when that was very close to being on a major level. And then we lost that. But that's really what it is. Is the whole thing just have the building? What's the building? It's a building. No big deal. What's the big... It's a holy building. So that really changes the whole world.
There's a big deal at the time.
I understand. So what does one building do already? It doesn't matter. The building's in Yerushalayim, and I'm in Tzvas. So?
You make a pilgrimage.
Okay, so that means only three times a year I'm special? What about the... No, you have to carry with you. You have to carry with you your own Beis HaMikdash in the fields when you're plowing. You have to have your own Beis HaMikdash there. The whole point of Beis HaMikdash means there is absolute clarity at this point when you are in the Beis HaMikdash. Just absolute clarity that there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and I live only for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and there's no other reality but the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Right? That's what the Beis HaMikdash, that's when we gave the gifts of the Korbanos, as we said in the last Shmooz, which shows that my love for you, Hashem, is unending, and I give the utmost I can for you. But the point wasn't just to live your day, you know, for 6 months being a bum, and now go into the Beis HaMikdash and act holy for a couple hours. The idea is it was a symbolism to recharge you to live your whole year that way. That was the key. So the point of the whole Beis HaMikdash was that when the person was plowing his fields in Tzfat, he was very close to Hashem. That's the whole point of living. So the Beis HaMikdash is a good focal point. It's a focal point. It's not more than a focal point. If that one little spot's got holiness, when all the Jews running around aren't holy, what does it help to have a holy place? Right? And that's the mistake that some Jews make, many Jews make. Yeah, we got the Beis HaMikdash, that's okay. And I'll be frum for a couple hours a year. I'll come for high holidays. And Hashem said, no, that doesn't work that way. Then it gets destroyed because you destroyed it. You destroyed it. Remember, there's a Beis HaMikdash above paralleling the Beis HaMikdash below. The Beis HaMikdash below only exists if the Beis HaMikdash above exists. The Beis HaMikdash above exists if it exists in our hearts. And if it doesn't exist in our hearts, then we destroy that Beis HaMikdash. So now the rebuilding of that Beis HaMikdash is if we put it back into our hearts. So that's why everyone can have their own Beis HaMikdash. Everyone can have their own Mashiach. Every Tisha B'Av can be born inside of you, a Mashiach for you, where you can begin to see that perfection within your own life. And when enough Jews bring enough Mashiachs into their hearts, then Hashem will bring the Mashiach into the entire world. The Beis HaMikdash, why do we want the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt? Because it only will tell us that it's all come back in every one of our hearts. That's the point. So Mashiach can be born every Tisha B'Av. We'll see what goes on, that on Tisha B'Av, within your heart, in my heart, in my neshama, your neshama, should be a Mashiach. It's there. The potential is there. He's born. He gets born. Do we activate it? Do we do what we're supposed to do? It's another story. Okay, let's continue. Mem Zayin. Mahu Sishal Yom Tisha. So let's get to the essence of what Tisha B'Av is all about. Zachariah Hanavi Hisnabe, the prophet Zachariah prophesied, Kilasid Lavo, in the future, Soma, Siri, the fast of the 10th, because really the Beis HaMikdash mostly burnt on the 10th. So we call it the fast of the 10th, even though we fast on the 9th. Okay. Soma, Siri, Yila, Beis Yehuda, L'Sasun, L'Simchol, Marim Tovim, that fast day that we call Tisha B'Av. In the house, Yehud will be a day of joy and happiness and of good holidays. Tisha B'Av, we have faith, Yom Tov. Tisha B'Av will become a glorious holiday as it was originally supposed to be. Umistaver, Shigam Kayom, Yesh B'Tisha B'Av, Ezehu Geder Shal Yom Tov. And it's logical to say that even today, that there has to be some kind of Yom Tov in every Tisha B'Av. Tamun bo mashia losid, buried in there has to be something very wondrously happy of what will eventually be. If eventually Tisha B'Av is going to be a holiday, it means it has to lie within the roots of this time of the year. If there's going to be a yontav on Tisha B'Av, that means there are holy energies every time on the 9th of Av that have the ability to bring joy. That's the only way, because they couldn't have a holiday on this day. What? That, no, the 15th is something else. But the 9th of Av is going to be an awesome festival. Now, it can't be a festival unless there's holy energies every year coming to the 9th of Av. Remember, it's dependent on the day. If the 9th, just like the Exodus from Egypt was on the 15th of Nisan, you know, not because they went out of Egypt on the 15th did the 15th become the holiday. It's the reverse. Because the 15th has the energies of holiness from the first day of creation. So therefore the Jews could go out on that day, because that's the day, there's energies of freedom. So you go out on the day of freedom. And there were so many other things in history that happened on the night of the 15th. That could only happen on the night of the 15th of Nisan. So if Chazal are telling us that the 9th of Av is going to be a day of great joy, that means it was always destined to have joy. And there is energies of joy every year in Tisha B'Av. And had the Jews not messed up the first time around on Tisha B'Av, the first Tisha B'Av would have been a tremendous day of joy. So there's elements of joy. So that's what we have to unravel here. So we've got to realize, what is that? Now, every holiday has some kind of definition. Pesach is the Zman Cheresenus. Pesach is the time of our freedom. Shavuos is the Zman Matan Torah, so the time of us receiving the Torah. Rosh Hashanah Yom HaZikaron. Rosh Hashanah is the day of remembrance. Chashavti by my thought once, says Rav Pinkus, Ech Nagdil Asi Des Tisha B'Av. How are we going to define in the future Tisha B'Av? What's going to be the definition? It's the time of what? Right now it's the time of crying, the time of mourning. What's going to be the time of later? Nitan Lahamlitzos Alpi Imra Chassidish Shemad Vishem Rabbi Moshe B'Kabrin. Maybe we can explain this with the Chassidish Avort that I heard in the name of Rav Moshe B'Kabrin. There are 3 weeks from the 17th of Tammuz till the 9th of Av. That parallels exactly the fact that there are 3 weeks from Rosh Hashanah until Shmini Atzeres. It's 21 days. Really, it's 22. Okay, stretch a little. It's really Rosh Hashanah. 2 days Rosh Hashanah. 1 day Rosh Hashanah. Okay. But it's not a far stretch. Right, Ms. Perkoilo. Okay, but it's the same period. It's about a 3 week period of time. So there's got to be some parallels over here. So it could be compared to a painter, an artist, who wants to portray beautiful pictures. So what does he usually do first? He wants to put a beautiful scenery. So what's the first thing he puts on? Does he put the flowers and trees on first? No. He first puts on a background that's black, as the background, as the contrast, which will be the foundation, the background for the beautiful pictures and colors that he's going to put on the black. So, in other words, sometimes because the black is such a good black, the pictures that are covered will jump out at you. They'll be much more. Contrast and focus on the colors because there's a black background from them. Based on that comparison, Nitin lahagdir as Tisha B'Av ki Yom HaZikaron kamo Rosh Hashanah gamu nikri Yom HaZikaron. So we could call Tisha B'Av sort of a Yom HaZikaron, a day of remembrance, like Rosh Hashanah, that is also Yom HaZikaron. All right, again, so he's picking the back end paralleling the front end, which can make sense because in many areas, times we do that. So Rosh Hashanah Kadosh Baruch Hu Zocher, and Rosh Hashanah Hashem remembers. Ki Zecher Kol Yitzur Lefanecha Bo, because the remembrance of everything that's created comes before you, Hashem, we say in our davening. Tisha B'Av Gam Hu Yom Bo Anachnu Zochrim. Tisha B'Av is also the day that we remember. And the question is, Ma'u Zikaron? What is the Zikaron of Tisha B'Av? What is this whole idea of Zikaron? What's this whole idea of remembrance? Koach HaZikaron Hu Echad HaKoichas HaNechutzim B'Yoyser Ba'odom. Memory is one of the most important strengths that a person has to have. Adam lelo zikaron, if a person has no memory, God forbid, people with Alzheimer's disease. Lo yizker ki oimid lefanov hinei reo v'yedido. He can't remember that the person standing before him could be his good friend. Right? Your children can come to you, you don't even know your kids. Right? You don't even know them. You have to remember. To remember that you gave birth to them, you raised them, all those memories. If you don't have any memory, if you have absolutely no memory, blank memory, and you see your daughter in front of you, you don't even, how do you know she, yeah, you, all you know is there's a nice person in front of you. And that's what happens with these Alzheimer's patients. At the end, they don't recognize, but they say, well, she's a very nice person, or sometimes she's a very bad person. Because they remind them of things they don't want to remember, but anyway, you can't live this way. Almost the karma without a memory. Chayrak es harega hanochachdi lelo shum kesher leavar. A person with no memory can only live in the present, with no connection to the past. Adam kazeh kasher yeshev mul tzalachas imoichel. A person like that, when he's sitting in front of a plate with food in front of him, right? He's like that. Berega ze ya'ochel kol olamo v'tachlisa. At that moment, his whole world is one thing: dinner. That's it. There's nothing. There's no other consciousness. Now, when you eat dinner and I eat dinner, we're thinking about a million and one other things. Talking about work, talking about this. But you have no memory. So what are you thinking about when you're eating this meal? You're thinking about the plate in front of you. That's your whole world. It's your whole world. Hulo yisker shlila kodem lechen, doesn't remember anything negative beforehand. Hulo yisker shlila kodem lechen. There's a print over here. Hulo mad musar al tachlis adam b'olamo. You could learn the musar of the point of a person's world. It's got to be a typo over here. Either he doesn't learn this. Adam kazeh mushal behema. But the main point is, a person like this is compared to an animal. Lo behema ein zikaron. An animal has no memory. He chaya rak es ahov. It only lives for the present moment. Yesh kan ochel. There's food. Vi reeva. She's hungry. Vi ochela. She eats it. Finished. Animals have got no great memories. And that's without memory, that's how you'd live. Next page. Without memory, we're pretty lost. Mem ches. Adam bal zikaron, but a person who has memory, zoker mashalomet, he remembers what he learns. V'yodeh, he knows, shechayav eina mistachmim batzalachas. That his whole life is not the bowl, the plate in front of him. Because, ki emeshu lomet al tachlas adam, because that's he learned about what the world was all about. You know, okay, that line before, the paragraph before, should have been l'chein hu lo lamad musar al tachlis adam b'olamo. He did not learn the musar, what a person is in the world. Okay, he's a type. You have to add the word lo at the bottom of Mem Zion, third last line, add the word lo. You know, but the guy with a memory, even though he's eating dinner now, he knows that there's a point to life, because he learned about this when he was a kid, or whenever. Right? Chayev ha'achshavim kishurim v'yon kim l'vod emesh. His present life, achshav, the present life, is tied and is nurtured from what he learned in the past, what he learned yesterday. Baal zikaron, a person with memory, Godel Yoiser Yisker Shiesh Achris Viesh Reshis is greater for him the memory that there is something that comes at the end and there's something in the beginning. He knows that, you know, that there's something going to happen later. He knows that there's something we're working for. Ves kol chayim, and all his whole life, chay b'merchav shel me'ein basal anatoholech. He's always living with the view of life, of always knowing the perspective of where have I come from and where am I going. That is only a person has a memory. Hasikaron hu merchav achayim shel adam. This memory is what is able to expand the life of a person. That when he lives this moment, it's not just this moment, but this moment is somehow critically tied to what the past was and is critically bringing me to the future. Memory is the link that links our present to the past and the future at the same time, and therefore gives it a greater meaning. And without memory, we wouldn't have this. Rosh Hashanah, for example, Yom HaZikaron. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaZikaron. If God would judge us just on Rosh Hashanah, just on what we are on this day, the world wouldn't last for a minute. Wouldn't last for a minute. We come on Rosh Hashanah, we're no tzaddikim on Rosh Hashanah. At this minute, nothing. So what do we know about Rosh Hashanah? We have Malchia, Zichronos, and Shofros. Part of it, it's called Yom HaZikaron. We awaken the memories. Onu Maskir B'Peh, Lifnei Borei Olam, we remember with our mouths before the Creator. We say to Hashem, Ha'olam Ein Rak Hayom, the world is not just today. Hayav Ravino, Yitzchak Avino, Akedas Yitzchak, there was a binding of Isaac, don't you remember? We arouse through the sounding of the shofar, the ram of Yitzchak. Am Yisrael in Rak Masha Yom. When you look at the Jewish people, you can't just look at us today. A motley crew of people who don't care about Hashem anymore. No, Am Yisrael Hayom Mechubar LaAvaro. The Jewish people are connected to the past. Uchobek Merchav Shel Alfei Shanim. And it encompasses thousands of years of history. Hu yonek, we nurture meyosh shanim, those years that Hashem called zacharti lo chesed nuraich avas kulosayach lechtech acharei b'midbar. I remember the kindness of your youth, the love of our first relationship, that you went after me in the desert, even though you didn't know what it was going to be. That's what Rosh Hashanah is. We tell Hashem, you know, today is not just today, it's gotta be, we're remembering all of history and where history is taking us. And the judgment has to include all of that. Not just where we are on this one day. So Tisha B'Av Gamu Yom Shel Zichronos. So Tisha B'Av, as it's paralleling this other three-week period, is a day of memory. V'yomza anu ma'ayirim ha'zichronenu, we arouse our memory. U'bakach anu mischabrim alafarenu, and thereby we connect with our past. El Tiferes Yisrael, the glory of the Jewish people. El Beis HaMikdash, El Asherah Shashchina, El Doros and Avim HaTanayim. We connect ourselves to the Beis HaMikdash, to the divine presence that was once with us, to the generations of the prophets, the generations of the holy rabbis of the Talmud. Kol Zeh Lo Shayach Lavar Bavad. All that isn't just something connected to the distant past. Kol Zeh Mechubar Aleinu El Havisenu. It's all connected to us right now. It's part of our presence. It's all with us in our consciousness now. How? Zachibur lavar, the connection to the past. Vad kama anu mechubar lavar. So how much are we connected to this past? So Yodim divre Eben Ezra al pasuk lo sach. We know the words of Eben Ezra who explains the 10th commandment of thou shalt not covet, which the obvious question is asked. Ketzad efshel etzav aslam shel yachmot. How can you command a person not to covet? His heart covets. It's an automatic. You see the guy driving up with a Rolls Royce in front of your house. And you don't have it, you want it. You don't have time to think about it. It's an instant feeling. How can we legislate instant feelings? Won't have an answer. Have an answer answers. Shadam lochome dovra hamenutak mimitzioso. A person doesn't covet things that are disconnected from his reality. A local villager who works on the farm doesn't covet marrying the king's daughter. Because it's impossible. You never covet things that are impossible. Right? And therefore, you know what? What somebody else has is what Hashem wanted the other person to have and for you not to have. And when that other guy has that fancy car, it's because God says he's supposed to have it and you're not. And once God says you're not, then it's impossible to have it. And finished. Dugman 17, let me give another example. Kamoshi Ivar Maleda, a person blind from birth. Lochome Tmunas Yavas. He doesn't lust for beautiful pictures. Shrei Enlo Shum Musuk Bimin Sesma. He has no idea what they are. Klomer, what's the point? Ha'adam Shoif Rakhtvar Mashay Mechelik Meno. A person can only yearn for things that he has some part of him. He thinks he can reach something like that. He has some connection to it. Can he yearn for it? So, Bidoreno in our generation. You have some people who are yearning to be as great as a tzaddik as the Briskarov. There's some people who are yearning to be like the Chazanish. Does anybody want to be like Abaye and Rava? Abaye and Rava lived almost 2,000 years ago. Okay, maybe 1600 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody think, oh, I want to grow up to be like Abaye and Rava? Nobody. Oh, Lepachas Kumar Rambam. Okay, I want to grow up to be like the Rambam. Wow, nobody ever dreams to be that way. Why? Why don't we yearn for this? Okay, we have no connection with Abaye and Rava were. We have no idea what an Abaye and a Rava is. They were way beyond our conceptualization. Chazanish, Briskarov. Okay, people saw him. I wish I could grow up to be like him. We have some connection to them. Ulechura, so it appear, imein lanu shiva liyas kum abaye rava. We don't have any yearning to be like abaye and rava. Harei shonu minu talk about rava. We're seemingly disconnected from abaye and rava. That's what it seems to be. Ulis nasik matanoyim, so it's nothing according to the soul. But if we disconnect ourselves from the tanoyim, then aren't we disconnecting ourselves to the root of the Jewish people? Because these tanoyim were the ones who transmitted the Torah to us. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have the Torah today. So we got a problem. So, well, don't have to worry. There's two different types of yearnings. There's a she'ifa, yearning to be like a certain big scholar. That yearning connects us and ties us very strongly to that greatness. There's another yearning. That a person cries over the fact that he has no connection to that tzaddik. Imosam was talking with those understandings. Shivazu, that yearning, even though that yearning doesn't connect us strongly to those understandings of greatness, but there is some thread of connection to some levels. In other words, if I cry over the fact that I have no connection to him, that's still some connection. If I don't cry or the fact that I don't have any connection, then I totally am lost. Right? So there's different types of yearnings. I yearn to be just like that guy. Just like that guy. I think I could be that guy. If I work hard, I could be like that guy. Or the person says, you know what, I'll never be like that guy. Or I wish I could even want to be like that guy. That's still a yearning. I wish I could wish. There are some people who don't wish at all. Havelus petition of the morning of Tisha B'av, Yeshiva Laris, we sit on the earth. That's that thin thread that connects us to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the morning is about. We know we really don't know what a Beis HaMikdash is, and we cry over the fact that we don't know that. And that's a yearning itself. Mishaena Misal Beis HaMikdash, person does not mourn for the Beis HaMikdash. If I feel in a show of Misal Beis HaMikdash, he can't even yearn to mourn for the Beis HaMikdash. Then you're totally disconnected. Totally disconnected from it. Ain lo shum kesher lov. There's no connection. Ve'ain shum si b'shachs lov. And there's no reason to return to it. And this becomes one of the main key components. The fact that we mourn is the fact that we're yearning to yearn.